From Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. For more information or to order equipping resources, call 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274, or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is a delight to have this opportunity to speak directly to you on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do you remember the resources that I talk about on the show? You can find on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The resource Hope of Nations by John Dickerson, Standing Strong in a Post-Truth, Post-Christian World, available for those, again, who support, who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. In Charlotte, we experience the Charlotte Pride Festival. And that is a festival that has grown each and every year. About 165,000 people participated this year. Rainbows were everywhere. The signs were creative, to say the least. One of the signs, a sign by Myers Park Baptist Church, read, "Jesus had two dads, and he turned out all right." Teenagers were wrapped in LGBTQ flags. Others wore leather or glitter and not much else. And this was very, very popular in the mainstream community. Charlotte's big banks participated, and such titans as Gap and Nordstrom, and so many things in view. A drag queen wearing spiky black heels, a man in a leather harness whizzing by in a lime scooter, a Ford F-150 truck bearing the moniker of Ernst & Young, all of this in a front page article titled, "Thousands Gather in Uptown to Celebrate with Charlotte Pride Parade." This was the feature in our local newspaper. And what's interesting about this is one person was saying, compared to Washington, D.C., this Pride Parade was smaller, less interactive, but we loved it. So this is not the only Pride Parade going on, but it certainly had a huge impact in our community. Joining me to talk about all this and more, Joe Dallas. He is Program Director of Genesis Counseling in Tustin, California, a Christian counseling service to men dealing with sexual addiction, with homosexuality, and with other sexual relational problems. He is a member of the American Association of Christian Counselors, and he is the author of many books that we recommend at the Christian Research Institute, including such books as Desires in Conflict, The Gay Gospel, The Complete Christian Guide to Understanding Homosexuality, one of my favorites, The Game Plan, Men's 30-Day Strategy for Attaining Sexual Integrity, A Strong Delusion, and most recently, speaking of homosexuality, discussing the issues with, well, with kindness, but with clarity. I've often said on the Bible Answer Man broadcast that no one understands the subject of human sexuality better than Joe Dallas, and I'm absolutely delighted to have you on the broadcast again, Joe.
Hey, good talking with you, Hank.
So in a 25-11 vote, the California State Senate passed Bill AB 2943. You and I have talked about this before. It declares conversion therapy a fraudulent practice. It outlaws selling books, counseling services, or anything else that helps someone overcome unwanted same-sex attraction or gender confusion. It basically outlaws the biblical view of gender and sexuality. Do I have that right?
You have that right. Several proponents of this bill deny that it would technically outlaw the Bible, but in fact, the wording of the bill is very clear. Goods and services mean exactly that. Goods are tangible items bought or leased. Services mean, of course, among other things, counseling services. The Bible is a book, and the Bible specifically advocates for a change in sexual orientation as defined in this bill. Hank, we should note an important part of the bill is its definition of conversion therapy, because it includes as part of the definition any effort to change behaviors or gender expressions. Now, you and I both know, and I think most of our listeners know, there's considerable debate, even among Christians, about what happens when someone repents of homosexual behavior. Do they immediately become heterosexual? Do they lose all homosexual temptations and so forth? But nobody has denied that people can change their behavior until now. This bill claims that as a pastoral counselor, I could not assist a married man who says to me, I want to stay faithful to my wife, but I have been behaving sexually with other men. Will you help me stop that behavior? According to this bill, it is a fraud if I offer him counseling services and charge for those services. So I think you can see not only how dangerous the bill is in and of itself, but how dangerous it also is when you think about the precedent this is setting. The state is now telling the Christian community how we may or may not serve each other, and indeed what we may or may not express in a commercial transaction.
Kind of interesting. I talked to you about this bill before. As I just mentioned, in a 25-11 vote, the California State Senate passed the bill, but the bill written by the California LGBT caucus has been slightly amended, so it has to return to assembly to be ratified. At this point, however, it seems like a done deal.
I think it is. I mean, barring a miracle, something like the parting of the Red Sea, we can assume it is a done deal. That doesn't mean people shouldn't make their voices heard. We need to know that we spoke out against this, and certainly people in California who are listening can and should call their assembly representative. But this, I'm sure, is only the beginning. The bill is going to be, or excuse me, the law will be challenged. A number of Christian legal groups are already planning on challenging it in court. And I'm convinced this will become a Supreme Court case because, Hank, this is the defining issue now of the gay rights movement. It was same-sex marriage that has been achieved. It was at one time legality, challenging laws that made homosexual behavior illegal, and that, of course, has been rescinded. It was gays in the military that has been rescinded. Basically, what has been achieved by the gay rights movement is permission. Now they're moving to prohibition. And this is a very important, very marked turn of events and approach. So far, the movement has been about the permission to be openly gay, to marry, to be free of job discrimination, to serve openly in the military. Now it's moving to prohibitions against anyone who continues to hold the traditional viewpoint. So the clash is obvious.
Yeah, so there are a couple of things here, Joe. Let me walk through them and get your comments. You sort of alluded to some of this, but AB 2943 engages in viewpoint discrimination, in speech regulation. It burdens the free exercise of religion. It interferes with the liberty of choosing therapies that best further therapeutic goals, and therefore, if it gets to the Supreme Court, as you think it will, it seems like it certainly couldn't hold muster.
As you and I know, and as our listener knows, it all depends on who's in the Supreme Court. We can talk about reason, we can talk about fairness, but in this very divided country, in this very partisan age, reason and fairness are not the considerations. The consideration is who holds the majority power. That's unfortunate, but Hank, it's true.
There's so much confusion on sexual orientation, even within the Christian church. I talked about the Myers Park Baptist Church and their sign, Jesus had two dads, he turned out all right. So within the Christian community, you have so many now supporting the LGBTQI agenda. Then you have people like Revoices founder. Honestly, I wanted to ask you about this because I can't wrap my head around it. I've been reading articles about Revoice and their conferences, and I'm so confused as I read what the founder is talking about. He's talking, for example, about Eros. Eros does not mean sexual love. I'm reading what he's saying, and I just can't wrap my mind around it.
Hank, years ago, you and I used to talk on this program about the emergent church movement and the theology behind it. And we both agreed that trying to get clarification on what it meant, what it believed, was like trying to nail Jell-O to a wall. And I think that's where we are with much of what we heard from the Revoice conference. For our listeners who may not be aware of it, Revoice was a recent conference that was hosted by a Bible-believing Christian church. Its speakers were all self-identified Bible-believing Christians who had chosen, to their credit, to abstain from homosexuality. They all said that they were attracted to the same sex, but out of obedience to God, they were not going to give in to those attractions. They held the traditional view of marriage, which is all well and good, and I appreciate that. But then they continue to refer to themselves as gay. They refer to themselves as a sexual minority. They still hold on to the label LGBTQI, and they view marriages between one of them and someone of the opposite sex as a mixed orientation marriage. And they basically retain a gay-identified point of reference. They consider themselves part of the LGBTQ community. They refer to themselves as gay Christians. And many of us, myself included, have been very concerned about this because while they hold some orthodox views about sexuality, they are insisting on retaining an identification with a sinful tendency and on referring to that sinful tendency in positive words like gay. And so I have a real objection to that. In fact, I've written for the Christian Research Journal about that very issue, whether or not gay Christian is ever an acceptable identity. I would argue that it is not.
And the founder, Nate Collins, I mean, he's not a lightweight. He's a former instructor of New Testament interpretation, in other words, hermeneutics, at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. So he's someone that understands not only biblical theology, but how to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended. So he has to take the viewpoint that the Bible speaks out strongly against same-sex sexuality, but somehow or other, the language as you read it just seems, as I said, so confusing that it's hard to wrap your mind around it. I think that's true for me. It's probably true for a lot of other people, too. And I think that makes it doubly dangerous.
I think that's the case. Hank, it's in such a gray area as well. And here I have to say plainly, a lot of Bible-believing leaders, pastors, teachers, and so forth, are accepting writings by Nate Collins and others in his group and celebrating it because they are saying that the biblical definition of marriage is strictly heterosexual and monogamous, and they are committing themselves to living lives of abstinence from homosexual behavior. And for those two reasons alone, they are gaining a tremendous amount of credibility within the church. And I rejoice in anybody who walks away from a sin that the world is celebrating. My concern about all of this is, again, an over-identification with a sinful tendency, which is not a biblical concept, and the positive spin being put on the sinful tendency. I see God in both testaments renaming individuals, not pigeonholing them by their sinful tendencies.
Talking to Joe Dallas when we come back from the break, I want to ask him about something that California enacted in 2015, the California Healthy Youth Act. You won't believe what that is. Be back in just a few moments with my guest Joe Dallas. So please don't touch that dial.
If you were going into combat, what would be more important, the number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission, they're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his complete Bible answer book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. Hank Unplugged is a new podcast brought to you by the Christian Research Institute. For decades, millions of listeners at home and abroad have enjoyed the answers and insights of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, listeners can hear Hank Hanegraaff as he takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in free-flowing, stimulating discussions on critical issues with some of the brightest, most interesting people on the planet. Hank Unplugged is a podcast designed to range further and dive deeper into both perennial and contemporary issues of interest to thinking Christians. To join the conversation, subscribe to Hank Unplugged on iTunes, equip.org, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And make sure you're a part of the conversation. It's a new channel of quality content that serious kingdom change agents won't want to miss.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. It is important to understand the sources of our modern distaste for the teaching of the doctrine of hell, for they are part of the strongholds characteristic of our times. By critically exploring these sources, we can best instruct children in the essential biblical doctrine of hell and avoid an actual abuse of greater severity, which would be their being unaware of its reality. Other topics include called to be mere ambassadors, the story of God with Morgan Freeman, the Jesus of Mormonism, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. It is important to understand the sources of our modern distaste for the teaching of the doctrine of hell, for they are part of the strongholds characteristic of our times. By critically exploring these sources, we can best instruct children in the essential biblical doctrine of hell and avoid an actual abuse of greater severity, which would be their being unaware of its reality. All Christian parents and educators should read Is It Abusive to Teach Children About Hell? By Rebecca Valerius in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. Subscribe to the journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org. Let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Having a discussion with Joe Dallas, always a great, great privilege to have Joe on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He has written some of the most profound books on human sexuality. Go to the web at equip.org. Any one of those books available for those who support the ministry. Again, check it out on the web at equip.org. Joe's most recent book, Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity, is a book that ought to be in the library of every single person listening to my voice today. And I mean every single person, regardless of your persuasion. At present, you need to read this book. Again, the title of the book, Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and with Clarity, by Joe Dallas. And Joe, I wanted to ask you a very simple question, and it might seem like, what's the sense of even discussing this? But to me, the reason I'm asking this question is so often we hear acronyms, or let's say we hear IBM, and we don't really know what IBM stands for. Or we hear about Nazis, and we really don't know that that is a German word for National Socialist, that Hitler belonged to the National Socialist German Workers' Party. The same thing with USSR, where the S stands for socialist, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. And the reason I'm posing the question this way, Joe, is we hear the acronym all the time now, LGBTQI. And I was reading an article in Christianity Today about Revoice's founder answering the LGBTQI conference's critics. And one of the first things that's noted in this article is in the website of Revoice, you have this statement, quote, supporting, encouraging, and empowering gay, lesbian, same-sex attracted, and other LGBT Christians so that they can flourish while observing the historic Christian doctrine of marriage and sexuality. So I'm asking the simple question, Joe, for everybody listening in. So this is encouraging and empowering gay, lesbian, same-sex attracted, and other LGBT, I presume QI as well, so that they can flourish while observing the historic Christian doctrine of marriage and sexuality. Now, that sounds good until you start actually talking about what each one of those letters represents. And I wonder if you can do that.
Yes, L is for lesbian, G is for gay, B is for bisexual, T is for transgender, Q is for questioning, as in I'm not sure which I am, and I is for intersex, meaning you are either born with both male and female organs, or for some other reason you believe that physically you are a combination of both male and female. And by the way, Hank, that it's a very fluid set of letters. It is added to regularly. When you and I talk, perhaps 6 months from now, there may well be another letter added to it. So it's hard keeping up with it. It used to be LGP, then LGBT, then Q, then I. So again, it's a work in progress.
So the reason I asked that question is, let's take this specifically now. I'll read the same web statement. Supporting, encouraging, and empowering transgender Christians so that they can flourish while observing the historic Christian doctrine of marriage and sexuality.
Now, two important points are raised by what you just said. One, what constitutes a transgender Christian? Two, what constitutes flourishing? When a Christian is flourishing, the Christian is becoming more Christ-like, shedding more and more of the works of the flesh, becoming holier, and in essence, going through the transformation Paul described as going from glory to glory. That's what sanctification is about. How does one then retain an identification with a sinful tendency and or even an unfortunate psychological condition and frame that in terms of flourishing? This to me is a very contradiction to the idea. If I could, Hank, let me make it a little more personal. As you know very well, I repented of homosexual behavior back in 1984. Now, I never thought, it did not occur to me, looking at what Scripture said about who we are in Christ, what we are to do with the works of the flesh, what we are primarily to identify ourselves as, it never occurred to me to call myself a gay Christian. I was very aware that I had homosexual temptations and I would have to resist them perhaps for the rest of my life. But I knew from what I read about the old versus the new nature and our position as saints in Christ Jesus and members of the body of Christ, I knew that there was no biblical support for identifying myself by those temptations I was resisting. And there certainly was no point in framing them in positive terms. If and when I did discuss them, it would be in terms of a temptation, as in I'm a born-again believer, I at times have homosexual temptations, rather than I am a homosexual or a Christian. So the wording we're discussing here, this isn't semantic nitpicking at all, Hank. There are profound implications to the words we choose to identify ourselves by. And I think this is one of the reasons there's been such a reaction to the Revoice conference and to the writings of the speakers who were involved in it.
There seems to be, Joe, such a move towards acceptance that when you even discuss these matters and you do so in a collegial fashion, that so often is translated as hate speech.
It is, and I think that was one of the smartest things the gay rights movement ever did. Rather than allow for different viewpoints, it has essentially shut down the legitimization of a traditional viewpoint on marriage and sex by labeling it hate speech. Nobody wants to be a hater. We all believe hate is a terrible thing. Therefore, nobody wants to wear that particular badge of shame. And as a result, even believers are falling for it. Hank, I can't tell you how many times I have spoken with or heard of Christians who are basically saying, I don't want to spread hatred, so I'm not going to talk about this. I don't want to teach my children hatred, so I don't want them listening to the biblical perspective on this issue. And I think that has set us up for a lot of error in the church, but really the problem does get back to biblical illiteracy. I think if we are well grounded in Scripture, we know what Scripture has to say about our old nature, our new nature, the power of God in our lives, what God requires, and we frame our lives with a biblically based worldview. When we don't do that, we leave room to let the secular worldview creep into our thinking and our language. And I think ultimately That's what we're talking about here, Hank, is just plain old worldliness infecting the church.
What's interesting about that is the icon has become the argument, so it doesn't become a defensible argument anymore. It becomes a dogmatic assertion. So you see a sign. The sign is by Myers Park Baptist Church in Charlotte. I mentioned this at the opening of the show, front page article on this. But the sign says, as the article points out, Jesus had two dads and he turned out all right. And people in a biblically illiterate culture can see that sign and think, oh yeah, Jesus did have a heavenly father. He had the earthly father, Joseph, and yeah, he turned out okay. And so they can't think Christianly anymore. And slogans, therefore, oftentimes win the day.
Oh, we're a bumper sticker culture, Hank. And I got to say, we've become a very lazy culture. If we were not so darned intellectually lazy, I don't think people would be promoting half the hogwash they're promoting. And I'm talking whether it's theology or just social dogma. I think this is the season of the unexamined. We don't examine, we just embrace what appeals to us emotionally, and we start spouting it and defending it and pressuring other people to do the same. It really is a time of madness. I think, again, in general terms, that's what we're talking about.
Again, I'm talking to Joe Dallas. He's program director of Genesis Counseling. I'm going to ask him how all of this is affecting him and what he does specifically. Also, as I mentioned in the first segment, I want to ask Joe about California's enactment of the California Healthy Youth Act back in 2015, which only now has become effective in classrooms in terms of its controversial provisions. Among the teaching material approved for use under the law are a study guide for the transgender children's book, I Am Jazz, as well as a sexual health toolkit. We'll talk about that and more when we come back from the break. Do remember, Joe's books are must reading. My library has all of Joe's books. And if you would look at my library, pick up one of Joe's books, you would find that it is underlined twice. Once it's underlined with pencil, and then I go back and highlight the important things that really pop out with a yellow highlighter. So Joe's books have impacted me, and what's really significant about Joe is what he models in terms of tone. He knows what he's talking about. But he says what he says with kindness and clarity. And I think that is one of the most difficult things to do today, because there's a sort of persecution that's taking place with respect to the Christian worldview when it comes to same-sex sexuality. In the midst of that, we have to maintain the Christian ethic, kindness and clarity. And that's why I say, in particular, his book, Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity, is a must read. It's informative, and it is well argued, and it is well written. Again, a must for your library. Check it out on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back with more of Joe Dallas.
In The Lord of the Rings, Tolkien's character Faramir voices the thoughts of countless soldiers throughout history. War must be, while we defend our lives against a destroyer who would devour all. But I do not love the bright sword for its sharpness, nor the arrow for its swiftness, nor the warrior for his glory. I love only that which they defend. If you too love what together we defend, our faith, biblical truth, and our freedoms, become a member of CRI's support team today by calling 888-7000-CRI. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's 888-7000-CRI or simply visit our website at equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after the break. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank Unplugged is a new podcast brought to you by the Christian Research Institute. For decades, millions of listeners at home and abroad have enjoyed the answers and insights of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, listeners can hear Hank Hanegraaff as he takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in free-flowing, stimulating discussions on critical issues with some of the brightest, most interesting people on the planet. Hank Unplugged is a podcast designed to range further and dive deeper into both perennial and contemporary issues of interest to thinking Christians. To join the conversation, subscribe to Hank Unplugged on iTunes, equip.org, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And make sure you're a part of the conversation. It's a new channel of quality content that serious kingdom change agents won't want to miss. Ephesians 5:15, 16, Paul admonishes believers to be very careful how you live, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Today, evidence abounds of the growing evil in our modern-day culture. False teachers and New Age cults continue to seduce millions with their empty promises and false philosophy. Subscribers to the Christian Research Journal know they will regularly receive timely information on the latest religious trends, as well as practical tips on dealing with the challenges to the Christian faith in a fallen world. To defend your faith with passion and precision, you need to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. To subscribe now, go to www.equip.org or call us at 888-7000-274. We now return to the program with Hank Hanegraaff, host of the Bible Answer Man.
Thank you much, Randy. The quote of the day comes from none other than my guest, Joe Dallas, who writes, not long ago, the gay rights movement was asking that homosexual people be treated fairly and with respect. Words like tolerance, pluralism, diversity peppered the slogans of that movement. And in retrospect, much of what it aimed for seemed only fair. Homosexuals should never have lived in fear of violence. The movement achieved much of what it sought, and then it morphed. Today, mere legitimization of homosexuality is hardly enough for the modern gay rights movement. It also demands, and with all the subtlety of a socialist purge, the punishment of anyone objecting to that legitimization. Joe, I want to ask you about that quote. How's all this impacting Genesis counseling? And as prologue, let me simply say that it would seem to me that this has an enormous impact on what you have given your life to. And I was thinking in this regard, I mean, if you want to run and be a senator or a congressman, if you want to be appointed to the Supreme Court, if anyone goes back and looks at your lectures and finds you saying something about same-sex sexuality or an opposition to same-sex marriage, you virtually have no chance whatsoever of being a public figure.
Mm-hmm. No, that is true, Hank. I believe that many of us who do the kind of work I do, I say the kind of work I do, I've had a ministry, as you said, for 31 years now of offering pastoral biblical counseling, not clinical counseling, biblical counseling to people who are born again believers, who experience same-sex temptations and want to know how to manage those in a God-honoring way. In some cases, they move on to heterosexual marriage. In other cases, they strengthen their marriage. In other cases, they're strengthened to live their lives obediently as single Christians. But regardless, that's the population I serve. Well, I've told all of my clients that when this law passes, I've got no intention of just dumping everybody or stopping what I do. I will continue to do it. And then I've got no choice but to turn to the church through fundraisers and individual appeals and ask if they will help defray the cost of seeing people for free. But I've got no intention of stopping what I do. And everyone I know who does this work has said the same thing. We, if need be, we can take a tent maker approach. You might see me at Home Depot with an apron telling you where the garden hoses are, but I will continue doing what I do. So, but I can't say that it doesn't affect me at a personal level, at an emotional level, Hank. I weep for the country I love, which is disappearing. This is not just about homosexuality or sexual ethics. This is about government control. This is about government telling people what they may or may not say. This is about a hostility to individualism that is growing, a hostility to certainly the Judeo-Christian viewpoint, and it signals a disastrous future for America, barring a miracle, and I think that miracle would mean an awakening of the church, and then by extension, an awakening of the American population.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mentioned before the break, California enacting the California Healthy Youth Act in 2015, and the effect taking place in classrooms today. For example, a study guide for the transgender children's book, I Am Jazz, now available, as well as a sexual health toolkit. And the toolkit's very, very interesting. It offers kids tips on using sex toys, anal lubricant, defines anal intercourse, phone sex, and more as common sexual behaviors, not as anything that would in any way have any negative connotations associated to it. In fact, it teaches that abstinence and virginity can mean engaging in a variety of sexual activities, but stopping short of intercourse. And then it makes available a guide on some of the sex toys. So if you look at the guide, page C51, it talks about cucumbers, carrots, bananas with the peel, making great dildos. Instructions, according to this guide, have to take a positive view of gender confusion and explore the harm of negative gender stereotypes. So early on, kids in California are, well, it seems to me, being brainwashed. And what I mean by that is if you present all of the evidence on one side of a ledger and repress all of the evidence on the other, that's not education.
No, that's indoctrination. I think we've already proven as a culture that we are willing to sacrifice the lives of our unborn children for the sake of convenience. It should not be a surprise that we've morphed now to the point of being willing to sacrifice our growing children for the sake of indoctrination. Because, Hank, who wins in all of this? Certainly not the students. Nobody can convince me that students need to be educated in these exotic, often even bizarre behaviors, these sexual practices. We are stripping young girls and young boys of natural modesty. Our kids are the losers when we do that because modesty was meant to protect. And by ripping that protection away, we are encouraging not only any number of physical problems that will come along with promiscuity, but also the emotional problems that are bound to come with bonding, then tearing apart, then bonding with someone else, then tearing apart. So, again, you have to ask yourself, who benefits from all of this? Not the kids, not the culture. Clearly, people who are committed to normalizing all forms of homosexuality and transgenderism and silencing any opposition to that normalization. Those are the only winners in this chaos, really, that we're seeing in the public school system.
I want to ask you as well about a new study published in PLOS One. This is a peer-reviewed online journal. And by the way, PLOS stands for Public Library of Science. And in online forums, parents have been reporting that their children are experiencing something known as ROGD, rapid onset gender dysphoria. And oftentimes this is exhibited by children who have increased their media internet usage. Can you comment on this phenomenon, which seems to be a pretty massive phenomenon in our culture?
Sure. Whatever you routinely, systematically expose children to is going to be manifest in the way they feel and the way they think and the way they act, whether it is violence, whether it is healthy behavior, whether it is drug use or alcoholism or different forms of sexual deviancy or gender confusion. We should not be surprised. Now, kids who spend a lot of time online absolutely will be exposed to and will, in fact, soak up both images and lessons about gender identity to convince them that they are not just male or female. They may be any combination of the two, and they may choose for themselves what they are rather than embrace what God has made them, what they were born as. And this to me is a setup for massive confusion about gender identity. And indeed, studies have shown that if you leave kids alone, those who are confused about their gender identity at an early age will simply outgrow the confusion. But we are imposing definitions and even treatment plans on children, for heaven's sake. And I'm talking about chemical treatment to change the natural sex that the person was born with, as well as mannerisms and dressing and so forth. Parents are going along with it. It almost seems that it is becoming trendy to have a child who experiences gender confusion and then become that wonderful, loving parent who says, "Hey, son, if you want to put on a dress and makeup, it's fine with me." And I don't see anything but a very bleak future for the culture if this trend goes on uninterrupted.
I couldn't help but think, as you were speaking of the quote of the day, your quote, homosexuals should never have lived in fear of violence, and how ironic it is today that kids' peer groups often mocked, teased, or made fun of individuals who weren't transgender or LGBTIA, another acronym, and seem to focus on the fact that they are now victims. So now you have the peer groups being in force mocking those who aren't part of the peer group.
You know, Hank, I've always been loath to bring up extreme examples, but you can't help, when you listen to what you just said, but think about Sodom. You can't help but think about a godly man, certainly a compromised godly man, but nonetheless a godly man and his family, visited by two angels who will not be left alone, who will have aggressive citizens come to their door demanding the right to sexually engage with their male guests and threatening the homeowner if he will not comply. Now, I am not saying for a minute that homosexuals are positioning themselves to rape us. I am saying that that same spirit which says, in essence, we will not live and let live, we will not agree to disagree, we will not practice diversity and tolerance, we demand a uniform viewpoint and uniform practices, and if you do not comply, we will find you and we will punish you. That is where we are.
Yeah. Joe Dallas, he is Program Director of Genesis Counseling. Pray for Joe. He's a man making a difference for time and for eternity. And remember his books. Go to the web at equip.org. Check out his books, most recently Speaking of Homosexuality. And we'll make that book available as you support the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Don't even have enough time to say goodbye to Joe, but pray for him. He is doing an amazing work all over the world. So long for now.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the Revised and Updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. A major reason mindfulness has been successfully mainstreamed is that we are so overstimulated and chronically busy. Because mindfulness has entrenched itself in American culture, Christians need to investigate it thoroughly in order to determine whether it is friend or foe. Other topics include the Jesus of Mormonism, the philosophy of atheist Bertrand Russell, how does the human soul come into existence, the story of Morgan Freeman, not God, is it abusive to teach children about hell, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.